All right. It's a good morning to you and welcome to Realm of the Historics. This is a show, of course, we look at the geopolitics. And this week is very hot. This week has been very hot. And fortunately, we have something to look at and analyze. And don't forget to tune in right here on your favorite and number one talk radio station. So let me just give you some time to prepare yourself. We are about to take off. This is Realm of the Historics. We are here, and we are looking at the parallel. We are looking at two figures today in parallel, like in parallel comparison. So we are putting them parallel to each other. And today we are looking at Ibrahim Traore and Vladimir Zelensky, very far apart. Traore is in Ouagadougou, West Africa. And, of course, in the Sahel region. Then Zelensky is in Kiev, East Europe. You see how distinct these two figures are, but they have one thing in common. They are all paying for the crime. And what crime is that? It's a crime of being loyal and being disloyal at the same time. So Zelensky and Traore are paying for the crime of being disloyal and loyal at the same time. If you are, there are two big powers in this world, at least three. The third is not really that much of a problem. But the problem is between the two big pit bulls, America and Russia. And if you are loyal to one pit bull, you will suffer from the other. So let's now look at what happened in Ouagadougou. You know that name is very difficult to mention. My tongue is even paining after mentioning Ouagadougou. It's a very serious name. But Ouagadougou is a capital city of Burkina Faso. It's a Burkina capital city. Now, in a town or city of Djibo, there was a recent attack that killed almost 200 people, according to the Islamic Al-Qaeda affiliate jihadist militant organization. Okay, let me repeat this one. This is according to the Islamic.
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just $300 a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit Paratus.Africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always
right. So this is according to the Islamic. Okay. I thought I was on time with this, ad. I thought I would catch, okay. So 200 soldiers, military personnel, are killed. 200 soldiers, that's almost half a battalion, is wiped out by an Islamic militant. And according to them, they have killed 200 soldiers, razing the main base of Djibo, razing it to the ground. Which means they have had big weapons, lethal weapons, very powerful weapons that could raise a base to the ground. So there are two things that, there are two ways involved, or there are two things involved in raising a base to the ground. There are two things involved in raising a military base to the ground. One is that the weapons that they are using, or that the enemy, the attackers were using, were very heavy weapons. Maybe heavy artillery and mortar, shells. Depending on of course, depending on the setup of that military base. So, the whole military base was pounded to the ground. Pounded to ashes. Now, Second one is that when your military is attacked, your military base is attacked, and you are bounded by heavy artillery, you also had depots, you know, like maybe warehouses and hangars where you keep certain weaponries, maybe bombs and some rounds. And they are now, excuse me, you see, now there's what we call secondary detonation. That one, excuse me, that one is very powerful. Because that means you are now being blown up by your own weapons that are detonating because of the fire as a result of the attack. So maybe you had a hangar full of mines, full of anti-tank mines, and maybe some anti-tank, you know, shells and some artillery shells. And now it's during the attacks. You are suffering from, because your hangars are catching fire. And now there is what is called secondary detonation, where your own bombs and weapons, your own shells, are now detonating. They are now, because they don't know that you are their owners. They are detonating into you. So it is now become possible for 200 soldiers to die in that scenario. Of course, the officials, military officials in Ouagadougou are saying that it is an exaggerated number. The number may not be 200. It is an exaggerated number. But some residents in Djibo are saying the military base is in ashes. Okay? The military base is in ashes. So now let's investigate. What organization is this? Because this is an Islamic, based Al-Qaeda affiliate jihadist militant organization. Let me repeat that one. This is an Islamic Al-Qaeda affiliate jihadist militant organization. You did not hear that. Maybe let me repeat it for the last time. This is an Islamic Al-Qaeda affiliated jihadist militant organization. Okay. You got what I'm saying. Where could they get the lethal weapons that could raise a government military base to the ground? And where did they get the intelligence and the capacity to carry out such an attack? So, where will they get such a capacity? Where could they get the capacity to be able to carry out such an attack? Where will they get that capacity? All right. Let's go for a short musical break. We'll come back.
It's too late. You say you want me, and it's too late. Once my love for you so great, but it's too late to love me. It's too bad. You say you need me, and it's too bad.
We continue. So the question is, where did this Islamic Al-Qaeda affiliated jihadist militant organization get where did they get that lethal weaponry to pound a base into ashes? And in fact, the way the attack was made, it seems that the government, the Burkina government forces, did not even have a chance to respond. Maybe they responded, but their response was not enough. The attack was overwhelming. Where did they get the? Okay, guys, it sounds very funny, but it's a serious matter. But where did they get the weapons? The logistical support and intelligence, everything. Because this is a militant organization that is supposed to be wanted by everyone. So, guys, stop playing with uncles. Okay? Stop playing with uncles. Okay. Now let me just give you a background. Because this is for us to understand what is going on here, let's go back to 1970. At least 1973. Or maybe 1973 is very far. Let's go back to 1980, to the 1980s. Let's start 1979, 1980, and 1989. So that we understand what is going on. Now, let's zoom in Mr. Donald Reagan. Okay. So, around this time, the Afghans were fighting against the Soviets. They were trying to push out the Soviets, and they're trying to repel or to revolt against the Soviets' rule and influence. And then the United States of America, you know, Uncle Sam, and now we talk about the CIA, decided to do something so that they win, you know, they win against the Soviets. So they decided to do something. Remember, the organization in question now that attacked the Jibo military post is Al-Qaeda affiliate, which means is a son or daughter of Al-Qaeda, however you may put it. Now, we want to look at where Al-Qaeda come from and how did Al-Qaeda, you know, come to pass or come to being. So the United States intelligence came up with a brilliant idea to assist the Mujahideen. The Mujahideen was a group that was fighting in Afghanistan. So they created, with the help of the Saudis, they created an organization. And they found a guy who could help them. And this is a guy called Osama bin Laden. So Osama bin Laden, that's how you call him. Me, I said Osama bin Laden. So Osama bin Laden was a better guy to do the job. So the CIA funded this guy and they created an organization, Al-Qaeda. And they were fighting against the Soviets. And of course, the Soviets were pushed back because they were also going through an economic crisis. So they couldn't really have the prowess to keep up with a war. So they decided, okay, we're giving up Afghanistan. We're stopping the war. So Uncle Sam won. Okay. So Uncle Sam won. Now, there was an attack in Saudi Arabia, a kind of a revolt that almost overthrew the kingdom that time, or the king, or the leadership. And then Saudi Arabia asked for help from Uncle Sam, from the United States. That is when things became sour between Al-Qaeda and Saudi Arabia. So they said, how do you ask the kafirs to help us? This is our war. We are supposed to fight. This is our jihad. You can never ask a kafir to come and help us. The kafirs are the Americans because they are not Muslims. So, and then they attacked Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia asked for help from Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam helped push out Al-Qaeda, and then Al-Qaeda became an enemy of the state and an enemy of the United States. That's how that enmity started. So now, fast forward to 2025. The Sahel has been rocked by Islamic militants with the Al-Qaeda affiliates and also the ISIL, you know, the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant. So what is a crime? Because Traore has chosen a different path that is not pleasing Uncle Europe, or maybe anti-Europe and Uncle America. That's why tables are changing. Because big powers like the Western power, they can support any other group or any group as long as that group will do their interest. If something is hurting their interest, they can use those groups to mess you up as a president. And this is what is happening. So, no doubt, that these organizations are funded by France and using, you know, Cote d'Ivoire as a base. So, and this is not something that is of a conspiracy. These are facts. So just like what they did to push out the Soviets using creating a terrorist organization and using it to fight, it did not end there. So all these rebels that you hear, the Free Syrian Army, the ISIL, all those ones were created in 2014 during the Obama administration. So that it may be easier to destabilize and destroy Syria completely. And not only Syria, Iran as well. But in 2016, Assad went to Russia and appealed for assistance. And that's when the Russians came in and they were pounding both the Free Syrian Army and, you know, Al-Qaeda and ISIL. So that's the world for you. So Traore has committed a crime. Not only him, but all military juntas in Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, and all those. You must listen to a commentary by a media, I don't want to mention the name, a journalist from the media. You know, you could, of course, from a Western media, you could feel excitement in his commentary. You know, you could feel as if he's celebrating the military post that has been pounded to the ground. The way he was analyzing and giving commentary to the situation, it was as if he was celebrating to say, yeah, the military juntas in the Sahel regions who thought they could turn against the West are now being taught a lesson. You know, they are now being taught a lesson. So that's what I could get from his commentary. It's like he was celebrating. I could hear some ululation from his commentary. Like he's celebrating a kind of a victory of the Islamic militant over the government force. So in this world, when you turn against the uncles, you pay the price. You pay the price. You pay the price. It doesn't matter whether you have a conviction to take care of your people. It doesn't matter whether you are doing that for you to be economic independent. There is nothing called economic independent, especially for Africa. Africa belongs to anti-Europe and Uncle Sam. Klar. So if you want to turn against that, you must be able to be strong. Otherwise, you will get the gifts of turning against your aunt. So Europe is an aunt, America is an uncle. So if you turn against your aunt and your uncle, what happens? They will hire boys from the street to come and teach you a lesson because they are tired of coming in themselves. So they will hire boys from the street to come and teach you a lesson. They will give them money and everything. Because look, the impact of the news on the destruction of the base in Ijebu, it's so heavy in me to think that the weapons that were used there are very lethal. Very powerful weaponry. Pounding a base to the ground. Well, the Burkina government can deny it or not, or they can deny all they want, but they lost hundreds of soldiers in this thing. Now, why is Traore paying the price? He's paying the price because he has taken bread from the hands of the aunt. And he's now, you know, taking bread from the hands of the uncle. If you want to know how serious this issue is that Africa, through its 14 former Francophone countries, Africa gives France $600 billion. $600 billion per year. That is the GDP of Nigeria and South Africa combined. That is the money France gets from Africa, from all its 14 countries. And that money is French money. And if you wanted to have access to that money, the Minister of Finance in France is the one that is the one that is in charge. And you will not get that money unless you borrow. So you borrow your own money. You borrow from your own money. That's how serious. That's how powerful the French yoke is on those African countries. And you know that Macron is not even backing down. Macron will make sure that Burkina Faso, Niger, Mali, and now Senegal, they pay. He will make sure they pay. So, France will make sure they pay. And that's why France was insisting, when we go to Zelensky, you will understand again. Now let's deal with Traoré for a moment. Now, Burkina Faso, Niger, and Mali, they are making money, especially Burkina Faso and Niger, they are making big money out of their uranium. They are making big money, and that's a crime they must pay for. That's a crime they must pay for, because no country in Africa can dare to be independent and to have an economic system. You see, even the Commonwealth countries, there are things that you don't do. And if you do those things, you have to go and explain to London why you are doing what you are doing. So no country in Africa is allowed to be all these things that you people are saying. The government of the day is failing to give to do the basics for its people. It is not the government of the day. It is yesterday's system that is preventing the government of today from providing basic services, especially to a black person. You can do all that, but you do that to white, especially in South Africa. You do it to white Afrikaners and whites, but not to black people. It's not an Afrikaner or white, South African white people's problem as individual, but it is a system that was laid up to be as such. And I know most of us celebrate Mandela and we even honor him as a god. But Mandela did not achieve anything as far as black empowerment is concerned. You can look that up. Mandela only achieved political freedom, but not economic freedom. So any political scientist and any person with economic knowledge and geopolitical knowledge will agree with what I'm saying. But of course, Mandela is celebrated in the whole world, even by European countries. You know why? Because he obeyed their instructions to the letter. Okay? It is not because Mandela was a godly person or was a righteous person or was a good person. No, it is because Mandela obeyed the ant to the letter. Do you know the aunt I'm talking about? Grandma Europe. Your grandmother. Where you go and bow on her lips and explain why you have introduced certain laws, why a certain bill is needed. And they give you parameters. You can pass this bill, but it must not go beyond this level. So most of you think about Commonwealth countries, they are going to meet and it's going to be a win-win situation. No. Win-win situation where African presidents, they are rebuked by the ant. They are rebuked by the ant for saying certain things and doing certain things and not doing certain things. They are rebuked. If you are debating with me, ask Ramaphosa. Now we have 49 Afrikaners that are going to South Africa or that have arrived in America, being given refugee status. Sorry. They are given refugee status. We don't know whether they are economic, they are political refugees or agricultural asylum seekers. We don't know what they will be called. Because as far as South Africa is concerned, the white people make up of 7% of the population. And that 7% of the population is the most privileged, group of people in the whole South Africa. Now, if you are talking about the Afrikaners are not the only minority. In fact, the Afrikaners are more than the Indian population in South Africa. And they are more than the Asian population. They are more than the other races. They are more than Asians. So the South Africa or the Afrikaners are more in South Africa. They are many. They are not the majority. They are not the minority. Of course, they are minority when compared to the population of the Zulus and Xhosas. But if you are looking at minority, they are not the only minority. If you are judging this case, using the minority as a basis on which we should judge the situation, then we should look at all minority groups. The Tshivendas are also minority. The Shanganas, the Tswanas are the minority, and the Sotus are the minority compared to the Zulus and the Xhosas, and also the Namas, the Khoikhois, are the minority. So if America wants to help the minority, America must help all the minorities. All minority groups must be given asylum status in America. But America is targeting the Afrikaner group only. And you see, there are many Afrikaner people that are coming out to say, no, we are not refugees. And in fact, there is no genocide in South Africa. There's nothing like that. So, but of course, that's Ramaphosa's soup to eat. Just like Traore is eating his own soup now. And the fact of the matter is that Africa can never get away from the bosom of the ant. Unless Africa has to go and hire Uncle China and Uncle Russia to come and deal with the ant. But then the ant will not be, America will not allow the wife to be dealt with. In fact, things happened like this. Britain and France married America. And America said, nope. This marriage, I am the husband, not you. They said, no, you are the wife. America said, no. If that is the case, we are fighting for our own independence. And America kicked out France and Britain out of the American hemisphere. Visit the Monroe Doctrine, if you are debating. So Britain and France were kicked out of the American hemisphere. They don't play there, they know. But America can do anything in Europe. America can say, beep, and Britain run. America sneezes, France freezes. Because Uncle Sam is a husband to Aunt Europe. Of course, especially Western Europe. That's America's wife. Other countries in Europe will be treated as side chicks. Countries that are trying to be on top, like Poland, Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia, Slovakia is now moving a different way. You see Moldova, Romania, Croatia, you know, all those countries that are calling for the destruction of Russia. Those ones are not that much important when it comes to Uncle Sam. But Western Europe, Germany, France, Britain, yes, that you don't play there. So, in Africa, it is not possible. So now it is, unless Africa said, okay, Uncle China, Uncle Russia, can you help us beat the ant? But you know that Uncle Sam will not allow that. And that is going to be the third world war. Okay? That is going to be a third world war. And Uncle China and Uncle Russia will have to think twice doing that. They will have to think twice. Because that's a war. No one will win. So, but when it comes to proxy wars are being fought right now. So, and Traore's and other juntas are paying for thinking that they can liberate their countries economically from the yoke of the anti, and stand on their own. They are paying for that price. And Namibia and other countries know that very well. The other person that tried to do that was Mugabe. And you know what happened. He was a demon of all the world, the whole world. He was demonized. And Mandela was celebrated. Now we put Mugabe and Mandela parallel. Mandela was celebrated by the whole world. Even people quoting him. And he was celebrated. And people hero worship him as a hero, a world's hero. You know, that ended apartheid. Mandela is not the one that ended apartheid. We know already how apartheid ended. So, but Mandela is celebrated today because he obeyed the ant to the letter. He was upright in carrying out the ant's will. So at the end of the day, or in other words, we say Mandela said, "Ant, uncle, thy will be done." Okay? Thy will be done in South Africa as it is in Europe. That is what Mandela said. And that is what earned him so much respect from the aunt and also the uncle. Because you need to pray this prayer for you to be well, for it to be well with you if you are a president of a country in Africa. Pray this prayer. Pray after me. Just one sentence. Your will be done as it in Europe and America as it is. No, your will be done in Namibia as it is done in Europe and in America. Amen. If you pray that prayer and you are president, you will be very well. In fact, you can stay all you want in power. You can be a dictator all you want, but as long as you pray that prayer, You know, as long as you pray that prayer, you can rule until you die. As long as you say, your will be done in Paris, as is, your will be done in Ouagadougou, as it is done in Paris. All 14 Francophone countries in Africa are praying that prayer. And you know what? 600 billion is leaving Africa into France coffers. And if I have to tell you, the Francophone countries in Africa are the poorest countries. Most countries that are, on average, countries that are very poor are countries that were colonized by France. And those are the countries out of whom 600 billion is leaving Africa. Imagine if that country, you know, imagine if those countries, if that money was pumped into their economy. Imagine if that money was pumped into their economies. Imagine how powerful those countries could have been. So, in fact, at least we know that the anti-Britain, it's not that ruthless like anti-France. Huh? At least anti-Britain left infrastructures. You know, we can talk about Afrikaners all we want. The South African former government of apartheid. We can talk about it in a bad way. But do you know the difference between France and South Africa? Is that South Africa left Namibia with infrastructure. In fact, they left with the plans, the development plans. Most of the development plans, most of the things that SWAPO came to do are founded on the foundational development plan of South Africa. Okay, that's not a good soup for you. Because the narrative must be SWAPO brought independence. Yes, we understand that. But South Africa, for the development that we have today, South Africa contributed immensely. You know, that's a good thing we can talk about South Africa. And that's also the same in Zambia, the same in Malawi, the same in Tanzania, the same in Kenya, the same in Nigeria, the same in every Anglophone countries. The Anglophone based colonial system, when they left infrastructures. They left infrastructure intact. Yes. In fact, Livingstone, Mazabuka, Lusaka, those were built by the British. They left everything intact. Now, but, guys, look at Mozambique, Guinea, Chad, all those countries that are both Franco and Lusophone countries. In some countries, the French took tables from hotels. They went to collect all the tables and all the plates and all the kitchen utensils. They collected them, put them into planes to France. In some areas, like in Congo, they went into the mines and poured concrete on those mines. And you know what? After some years, they came back and destroyed the concrete because they realized they were running out of rare earth materials. That's how serious the issue we are talking about is. So In Mozambique, the Portuguese poured concrete in the sewer reticulation system so that no toilet can flush. Because they are the ones that taught the Mozambicans how to flush anyway. The same thing that was done in Guinea Equatorial. They poured concrete in the toilet, in toilets, in the sewer reticulation system, so that nothing moves. So, that's how serious what we are talking about is. You know, Oshakati was left with the roads, with the roads, and in buildings. All this Katima and all this Katima, everything was left. Windhoek built nicely. But somebody from Chad, when they come to Windhoek, they'll be shocked. When you guys are talking about Windhoek, you are talking about your own town is not developed. Of course. Maybe it's not developed, but somebody from Chad and somebody from Cameroon, somebody will come to check to Windhoek and they look at your infrastructure, they will be shocked. And that is one thing that we take for granted, especially here in SADC. Most of the SADC countries are relatively better. You know, if I have to tell you about South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, examples, those are better countries in SADC. Very, very rich. Of course, we are talking about South Africa, the most unequal countries in Namibia. But despite that, we are still better off compared to, you know, dozens of countries in Africa. We take for granted that you can wake up anytime and charge your phone. You know, as long as you have electricity on, you can buy your own electricity. You wake up anytime, you charge your electricity. I mean, you charge your phone and you wake up anytime you have access to internet. You know, you wake up anytime you can even get into the bathroom and just take a hot bath and go back to sleep. You can go to the filling station and, you know, put in fuel in your car. And, you know, you can even buy sugar at a service station. It does not happen in many countries like that. Sugar only comes once a week. And you have to queue up for sugar. Even fuel, you have to queue up for it. But these are the things in Namibia we take for granted. Because all of us are baptized in some political bitterness. And you see, political bitterness prevents us from seeing the bigger picture. And that's why most of us are not even able to participate in the mainstream economy. Because we think that everything revolves around politics. And we think that everything rises and falls on our political parties. Your political party has got seats in parliament now. You were insulting people last year because of your political party. But how much are you getting per month for your political party that is in parliament? You are getting zero. You know, you are getting zero. But you guys are ignorant enough that you can go to a business company and disturb it. And even threaten to shut that business down. Because you want to gain some political glory. That is being ignorant. You see, that is being foolish. Because if that company or business company closes down, 20 people lose their jobs. And those 20 people losing their job is equal to 400 people that you have thrown into the street. You see, versus a political party that wins seats in parliament and they get 30 million, for example, you benefit nothing from that 30 million. You still continue being unemployed. But if a company, it's a business company, if we stand behind business people and we support them, and we come up with a peaceful mechanism of solving issues, those business people will prosper and they will recruit more people and many more people will have jobs. Versus your political parties that are in parliament and you are getting nothing out of it. And those are the people that you are rallying behind. That's how mistaken we are. I think the people that we are supposed to support are the business people. Because they are the ones that brings employment. Somebody can open a tax shop today and it runs. And that person is your cousin that works there getting a 1.5 per month. You can say it's little money, but you are not able to give that money consistently per month. You yourself. So what do we do? We go to the tax shop and make noise there, threaten the person, disturb the work, and then the person shuts down. That 1.5, that's when you are going to realize it was something better. So there are a lot of things in Namibia we take for granted. There are a lot of things that we take for granted in Namibia. And I think even our business people, we are taking them for granted. We are not supporting them enough. And I believe that if we support them and we come up with mechanisms of negotiating salary increment peacefully, and government also makes the environment more conducive for business, especially local business, to flourish, I am telling you, more people will be recruited and more people will have jobs. And the more people have jobs, the more they are able to buy, the more our economy is stable. We don't think about that. Because most of us are not economical. We are political. So, Traore is paying for being disloyal to France. Traore is paying for being disloyal to France and for being loyal to Russia. So, because they went to Russia, Traore went to Russia recently to ask for more assistance to be able to push back the militants. So the militant responsible now is called the Jamaa Nusrat Islam Wa Al Muslimin. That is the name of the militant group that attacked Jibo. So it's Jamaa Nusrat Islam Wa Al Muslimin. So after a short break, we are coming to check, to look at the East, what is going on now, because we are looking at Traore and, Zelensky parallel, that both are paying for being loyal and being disloyal at the same time. We are coming back. Stay tuned.
Morning, bride or groom.
Groom.
This way. Morning,
bride.
Morning,
bride.
Morning, bride.
Thank you.
I'm the girl to marry you. A pretty woman makes her husband look small, and very often causes his downfall. As soon as he marries her, then she starts looking for things that don't break his heart. But if you make an ugly woman your wife, you'll be happy for the rest of your life. An ugly woman cooks meals on time, she'll always give you that peace of mind. If you wanna be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from our personal point of view, get another girl to marry you. If you wanna be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from our personal point of view, get another girl to marry you. Never make a pretty woman your wife. So from our personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you.
Give me some
if you wanna be happy for the rest of your life. Never make a pretty woman your wife. So from our personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you.
Yeah.
If you wanna be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from our personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry you.
Alright, it's 18 minutes past the hour, 12 o'clock, and we are going through the hour of 1 o'clock. Of course, by 1 o'clock, I will hand you into the hands, I'll hand you into the most capable hands, of course, of my colleagues in the north. That is going to be Omoeri. Yeah, so, to finish off, we would say that countries like Francophone or African countries are paying the consequences of being free. They are paying the consequences of being economically free. You can have a strong currency, but that does not mean that your people are rich. You will pay for it. There are things that you can never do. There must be poor people in your country. Even if you are able to come up with the mechanism to solve that, the moment it is seen that there are no more poor people and everybody is in order, you will pay for that. If you are debating with me, ask Syria. You must ask Libya. I don't want to go deeper. But you will pay for that. Right. So, now let's go to Zelensky. Zelensky has been, you know, pampered by the aunt and the uncle, thinking that they can use him as a, you know, as a tool to go and destroy and carve up Russia. That they can use a Ukrainian army, because Ukraine was the largest army in Europe. You know, when we talk about, because they are now talk about it, apparently Russia is not part of Europe. So they always say Europe and Russia. So Ukraine was a powerful army in Europe. Built, trained, NATO standard. And since 2014, it has been used. They wanted to make sure that they use it to win against Russia, at least a proxy war. And when they will win it, they will win the war. They can just now, they can come up, you know, they can come, the Americans will run to Tatarstan, the richest, you know, region of Russia. The French will run this way, the British will run this way, a lot of countries will run this way. That's what, that was the plan. To carve up Russia into smaller republics. You know? But, and, you know, the idea was, Zelensky gets in, the war starts, and then the uncle puts in a whip, economic whip, and the aunt as well. And Russia suffers economically to the point that they are no longer able to fund the war, and there is a revolt against Putin and is overthrown. And certain regions will declare independence. And that must be the end of Russia. And then Uncle Sam becomes the most powerful in the world. Using Ukraine. So, and Zelensky had this, you know, dream to be the greatest leader or hero that ever lived, to have been, to have ended Russia. That was a dream. And, you know, but then things did not happen as they were supposed to be. The economic sanctions did not work. In fact, Uncle Sam lost hundreds of billions in this exercise. The American companies left chaotically. They left chaotically. And they now want to come back. So now, Uncle Sam has changed the trouser. Because the face, the trouser called Biden is out. Now America is in a new trouser. And this new trouser wants to have nothing to do with the war. Trump is saying, look, that is not my war, that is Biden's war. And all I want is to end it because I want to do business. So now Zelensky is paying for obeying Uncle Sam. And Zelensky is now paying for being disloyal to Russia. Zelensky is paying now. In fact, Uncle Sam is saying, look, you cannot start a war with a country that is 30 times bigger than you and you expect to win. How do you do that? Huh? Zelensky is saying, but Uncle, you are the one that told me to go there. Well, the ant is still fighting. Macron wants Europe to help him take soldiers to Ukraine to go and fight the Russians, because Macron is losing ground in Africa through Russia. So he wants to revenge in Ukraine. But does he have the capacity to do that? Well, Europe has no capacity to fight Russia without America. And America does not want. Because America is saying, you guys are gambling with Third World War. You are gambling with World War III. And that's dangerous. So Trump is saying, no guys, if you want to think that you can send troops to Ukraine, we are not part of that. You can do that as European countries, but not as NATO. Because we are not part of that. Well, the Italian Prime Minister says that when France say we need Russia to be defeated, and of course Medvedev said, France, you will sink. You will sink. We only need one nuclear torpedo. And you will sink. So don't play. So the Italian Prime Minister comes up and said, look, Macron, you don't speak on behalf of everyone. So stop acting like you are speaking on our behalf. You are not speaking on behalf of everyone. So, and that's why now the aunt is confused. And Uncle Sam is not confused. Uncle Sam is resolute. And he's steadfast. Steadfastly saying no to war. Especially that the war of such a magnitude. So, what next now? But now Zelensky is now left to fend for himself. He's now left to Sam to fend for himself between Uncle Sam and Uncle Putin. At least Uncle Trump and Uncle Putin are now talking. And Europe wants to come in and say, let me also be part of the conversation. I mean, 2 weeks ago in St. Peter's Basilica, at the burial of the Pope, Zelensky had a meeting with Trump. And then there was a third chair. So Macron walked in because, you know, Macron thinks he's a Europe spokesperson. So he walks in and he sits down. And Trump says, nope, I only want to talk to Zelensky. Please, may you kindly leave the hall. That was an embarrassment. It was an embarrassment. May you kindly leave us alone. We want to talk. Can you please excuse us? So, the reason is clear. You guys watched the war going on for 3 years. That means you are not interested in peace. And there's no way I can allow you to be part of the conversation. Because if you wanted to end the war, you could have ended the war long time ago. Huh? Uncle Sam wants to do business. He wants the war to stop because Ukraine has some rare earth metals that Uncle Sam is looking for. And he doesn't want Ukraine to lose all those territories where those important components are allocated. Because the longer the war continues, the more territory Ukraine continues to lose. And that's why the war needs to end, because Uncle Sam is losing it. Uncle Sam is the one that lost this war, not Ukraine. Of course, Ukraine was doing Uncle Sam's work. Ukraine lost in terms of infrastructure and in terms of manpower. But the financial muscle to carry out the war on was from Uncle Sam. And of course, anti-Europe. But anti-Europe does not want to understand. She wants the war to continue. But Uncle Sam is saying, nope, the war must end. So now Aunt is confused. Today she will say, Russia must be defeated. Tomorrow she will say, let's end the war, let there be peace. So, it's a confusion, but Zelensky is paying for obeying the Uncle Sam and for disobeying Uncle Russia. So it's between Uncle Sam and Uncle Russia. Getting a whip from Trump and another whip from Putin. Zelensky is between. So Zelensky is between. He's in between. And he was... there was a time when he threatened that we will surrender to Russia if you people don't give us weapons. And he was told, look, if you surrender to Russia, that's your only problem. So if you surrender to Russia, that is your own problem. That's not our war. That's Biden's war. And Biden is quiet. Boris Johnson is quiet. Liz Truss is quiet. Rishi Sunak is quiet. Olaf Scholz is quiet. So you don't trust Uncle Sam, because Uncle Sam changes trousers. You don't trust Uncle Sam because Uncle Sam changes trousers.
Permanently discredited and abandoned. Well, everywhere is war. It's your war. And until there's no longer first class nor second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance to the color of his eyes, I've got to say war. And until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race, this your war. 'Cause until that day, the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, and the rule of international morality will remain in but a fleeting illusion to be pursued, but never attained. Well, everywhere is war. It's your war. War in the east. War in the west. War up north.
be. South Africa, yeah, subhuman bondage, yeah, has been toppled, yeah, utterly destroyed. Well, everywhere is war. It's your war. War, war in the east, war in the west, war up north, war down south. And it's a war. Rumors of war, but until that day, the African continent will not know peace. We Africans will fight, we find it necessary. We know we shall win. We are confident in the victory of good over evil.
We don't need no trouble. in our secret place, where the sound of the crowd is so far away, and you take my hand, and it feels like home. We both understand it's where we belong. So how do I say, do I say goodbye? Both have our dreams, we both wanna fly. So let's take tonight to carry us through the lonely times. I'll always look back as I walk away. This memory will eternity, and all of our tears will be lost in the rain when I find my way back to your arms again. But until that day, you know you are the queen of my heart. Queen of my heart. So let's take tonight, never let go. While dancing we'll kiss like there's no tomorrow, as the stars sparkle down like a diamond ring. I'll treasure this moment. But no matter how far away you may be, I just close my eyes. You're in my dreams, and there you will be until we meet.
I'll always look back as I walk away. This memory eternity, and all of our tears will be lost in the rain when I find my way back to your arms again. But until that day, you know you are the queen of
Shania Twain.
All right, we are here. We continue. So, what we are talking about here is that there is no country that can totally be independent from these uncles. Now, none of these uncles are more evil than the other. And none of these uncles are more good than the other. All right. Yes.
Good morning, Franz.
Morning.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Long time.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much for insightful presentation or teaching. I don't know whether since I've written about 5 pages or 6 pages already, maybe I'm just summarizing. And I really agree with you on many, many, many issues that one need to, you might not save two masters. So you then have to save only one or become loyal and loyal to another. That becomes a very big problem because nowadays in this global village where we are living now, when you have got a universal kind of principles which are now, you know, no need to consider when you are looking at the West or East or any other corner of the universe. But then, if, for example, those comparisons that you made, the Africa, the West, the auntie and the uncle, it's really true. I came to understand it very well now, especially when it comes to Anglo-Sam. And now that these people are actually using ourselves, the African, and also other sources. But then, like for example, in South Africa and Namibia and other nations, where we have got, because some of these common laws, these common principles, which were also in place during apartheid and colonialism of the Germany and all these other things, administration. And those principles, rules, they were actually racially discriminated. How do you put it? Race-based kind of the rules. And they could not give rights to the freedom to the black, for example, whether it's in South Africa or anywhere the British colonized or the French and even Namibia here. That's where I want to tackle. So the legal system and all these other administrative rules, they were just in favor of the white. Even in the infrastructure that you mentioned that they have created is true. But at the even infrastructure, they were also designated for, you know, different kind of race. The white, the blacks, and the black system were not so much conducive. And when you look at the system that was there, as compared to, I understand that you applaud them for doing some few things, like hospitals and some schools they created there and things like that. But even though they were created by our resources here, it's just that they were actually putting more resources on their to benefit themselves. So and then
Uncle Bana, compared to the countries, to the Francophone and the Lusophone countries, your country was left intact, better.
Yeah, you are right. You are right.
Yeah. So other countries, even toilets, they pour concrete so that they don't flush.
Apparently.
Yeah. So that's how you need to appreciate at least South Africa for leaving your country intact.
Yeah, because there's no way they could do that because their generation, their children and everybody, and they knew that they were to benefit, they were to stay here. So unlike maybe in Ouagadougou or whatever, Burkina Faso.
No,
or other.
No, I think they're the Portuguese and the French were just stupid because when they left, their population, their descendants continued to live there. So they made life very difficult for themselves.
It's true. It's very bad. Actually, to us, actually, something unethical. It's evil, actually. And the other thing is, when I in West Africa, say, for example, like Nigeria and many others, you hardly find a white person there. So you hardly see them. But in many other countries, you see our brothers, the white colleagues are here and all these other things. So the system that the French used there is actually barbaric. And it's not going to be supported. And I know that the situation here could be different because they have actually accepted. And the people, even the election that took place, 89, so from there, even before that, they were actually preparing to make sure that the system should really accommodate all of us, the black, the white, and everybody, colored, and all the Indian, Asian, whatever, whoever was present before and after the independence. So now, and the issue here is just a very good, I'm very, very much impressed by your system. But then, there are still just the system that was very, very much discriminatory. And anybody, like you said, because you know the Bill of Rights, and everyone has to adhere to this instrument. It doesn't matter whoever, it does not matter whoever. I know these principles are not observed in most of these countries, especially in West Africa.
Yeah.
And still, they are not well. So in the conclusion on the now that Seretsky, I did not even know that he overthrew the government that was legitimately elected. So I'm just coming to hear some of this from your teaching people, and that yes, he overthrew the government and he's there undemocratically elected. So now he's also paying the price for not observing democracy. Is that also the payment that he's paying? And especially to destabilize not only Russia and also the whole world. And if those people, they want to be part and parcel of the dialogue to end the war, like you say, it was embarrassment for France, already for the France president to go, you know. And I really agree, and I support Trump. No wonder they wanted to kill him before he could initiate some global peace. So thank you very much, France.
Thank you very much, Uncle Bana. Have a good day.
God bless you.
Right. All right. Now, in conclusion, is that not all this Uncle Russia, Uncle China, Uncle America, we need them for the order of the world. We cannot afford any of them to be destroyed. We cannot afford Uncle America to be defeated. We cannot afford Uncle Russia and Uncle China to be defeated. So we can also not afford anti-Europe to be destabilized. But we need a mechanism where we are able to stand on our own economically. All right. So, before I hand over, let me just play one more music sound and then I will hand over to my colleague the other side.
I'm
Destroyed, but also at the same time, we don't need any country subjugated to any economic bondage just because of the three uncles and one aunt. No, we need countries to be independent and have their own sovereign will. This is not what is wanted by all these uncles. Uncle China doesn't want Taiwan to be independent. Uncle Russia doesn't want anybody playing in their hemispheres. Uncle America doesn't want anybody playing at their hemisphere, their doorsteps. So, it is survival of the fittest. When you hear that sound, means we are lending. It means we are lending. And this has been the Rhyme of the Historics. We are going to see you again next. We are going to meet again next Sunday when we are going to talk about other powerful, you know, we are going to have another powerful discussion. So stay tuned. This is Eagle FM. It remains your only number one talk radio station.
To the world of digital kingdom versions. See the bold new expressions of the Imba app. Feel like you're part of something bigger. Experience the digital hymnbook in the palm of your hands. Behold, the new and improved Imba that brings together various hymnbooks under one app. Here to unite a nation and spread the gospel. Some of the featured hymnbooks on Imba app are the Elsine Hangano, Leo Sherero Omaimburiro, the Catholic Simaneka Karunga, the Afrikaans Sung Fuor Tierra, and many more. Contact us today if you'd like for your church hymnbook to be added onto the list of Imba hymnbooks. 081-23-58-063. You can also email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Download and discover Imba today. You can find it on the App Store as well as the Google Play Store.